This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, my friend and colleague, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He is an Australian national, therefore part of the Commonwealth. I am an American national and outside the Commonwealth, but I observe. And the coronation is momentary on Saturday in London. The ceremony will be elaborate. However, we have other information coming in about the king that is fresh to me. This is CBS News reporting that if you add up all of the property and artwork and automobiles and assumptions of debt, the king at his coronation is said to be worth $2.3 billion. Strikingly, however, the vast numbers there are real estate, such as the Duchy of Lancaster, which is worth $820 million, and Balmoral and Sandringham castles worth $415 million. The jewels themselves are sizable, $670 million. But Gregory, I come to this because none of this is particularly sellable. In other words, you really couldn't convert it. I suppose somewhere there might be some fantastic version of Ernst Blofeld of Spectre who would put down a check for the crown jewels. But the king's worth seems to be taking care of all these properties, and that's what he must devote himself to, the management of real estate that he's never going to sell. He has a stamp collection, racehorses, and artwork. Again, not saleable at $190 million. The only thing I could see him moving easily would be his collection of Rolls-Royces and Bentleys and other vehicles for $8 million. But even then, there would be a great protest. So is it understood in the Commonwealth that the king is an ordinary well-to-do man, not one of the Earth's billionaires?
Well, I think money, as you say, plays very little role in what King Charles has to do and will have to do. He's stuck with the infrastructure, which is, as you say, he can't sell. Let's face it, at £2.8 billion or so, and I believe it's much more than that, you could get any rank-and-file Saudi plopping down a check or bringing in some gold bars. But the reality is that this is immovable. When we saw the every major skyscraper in New York owned by the Japanese, we thought, oh, my God, we've lost. The Japanese are taking over the country. But the good news is you can't take it with you. And when the Japanese economy suffered, the real estate went back into other ownership. Look, the monarchy is not all about, and it's not even about the jewels, including the coronation jewels or the real estate. It's about the dignity of an institution, and I think Charles has actually done very well to attempt to streamline this and consolidate it so that it becomes very much more focused about principles and symbols rather than about power and wealth. Look, the crown still does have residual powers, legal powers, but it has its real strength is in its moral powers to unite the nation, not just the United Kingdom, but the Commonwealth. The King Charles' big challenge is not maintaining the real estate. That's going to take care of itself. In fact, there's there's even a minister in the cabinet called the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster who looks after a lot of the earnings of that. But there's also estates in Cornwall which produce quite a good revenues from farming and the like. But again, that's not the point. The point is whether the king retains his and the crown retains its majesty, its mystique, and its ethereal role.
We have 30 seconds, Gregory. What is your measure now? Is Charles bearing up, given all the demands on him?
Oh, yes. It's going to be an interesting spectacle on Saturday, a profound one. I hope it will be as moving and as mystical as the Queen's coronation. And we hope so, and I think it will.
Gregory Copley, in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, Central Asia, ancient cities, far, far more ancient and powerful than Europe at the time. But now, the King, London, King Charles Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.